This week, over two dozen prominent conservative Christian leaders signed a letter to Mitt Romney affirming that their support for his candidacy may have been tempered by theological disagreements with his faith, but no more. Tony Perkins, Franklin Graham, and 26 other notables pledged to rise above faith issues and support the candidate on policy. It's a desperately needed step in the right direction for our politics and our nation when leaders who have specialized in injecting religious rhetoric into every policy debate decide, however self-serving the decision may be, to focus not on faith but on issues. But this show is called State of Belief, and so while we applaud this proposed disentanglement of religion and politics, we must always look at the broader role religion plays in our public life. And the nomination of Mitt Romney is historic in terms of his religious background. Joining me right now is Joanna Brooks, who writes frequently for Religion Dispatches, where she is a senior correspondent. Her new book is called Book of Mormon Girl, Stories from an American Faith. Joanna, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Reverend Gaddy, thank you for having me.
You've laid out a number of compelling ideas on the pages of Religion Dispatches magazine, and there was one recent piece headlined, Where Are the Mormon Nuns on the Bus? Would you talk about that one?
Well, we've had the bold example this summer and fall of Catholic nuns who oppose the Ryan Romney budget for its deep cuts to programs like food stamps that are vital to the protection of the nation's most vulnerable, while giving tax relief to the wealthy. And a friend of mine who is a progressive Mormon person asked, where are the voices of conscience from Mormonism? Do we have anyone that's raised such an example, made such a bold example? Instead, we seem to be represented in the public sphere by Mitt Romney, and he's going unchallenged.
I hear you saying that progressive Mormons are feeling left out with the ultra-conservative platform of the Republican Party being conflated in the public eye with Mormonism. Is that right?
That's right. You know, the most striking image that Mormonism has given the world lately is, you know, the guy in a suit. it starts with our sweet young missionaries who, to keep the rules, wear white shirts and ties. But that's what our church leaders wear too. We don't wear vestments in our tradition. We dress in business attire. Basically, the men do who are church leaders. And so there is this conflation with our church leaders, institutional leaders, and corporate figures like Romney, like Bill Marriott, like David Neeleman, head of JetBlue, the sense that Mormon leadership is bureaucratic leadership. We do have a prophetic faith tradition. There are elements of our history that have been about economic communitarianism. Care for the poor is one of our highest values. And so right now, Mormon progressives are organizing to get our witness out there.
Tell us what you think the moral issues are that are being raised in this campaign, and then talk a little about what moral issues should be raised during this campaign from a Mormon perspective.
Well, you know, we are still in the hangover of decades when religion has been weaponized around certain subjects, whether gay people enjoy the right under civil law to marry whom they choose. We hear religion mobilized a great deal around issues of access to contraception, and, of course, always access to abortion. The deeper moral issue is a more subtle one. It's the question of whether or not government has a role in our society.
Yeah.
You know, is government, and you know, I think one of the things I'm interested in, Reverend Gaddy, is how people of faith have been taught to fear and oppose government, that government is inimically opposed to the interests of people of faith, and that has been for decades. I mean, I see government as being actually open to lobbying from organized people of faith, including progressive people of faith. You know, we see the great civil rights reforms were enacted by people of faith lobbying government. Is government something to be abandoned, or is government something we can think of as a trans-faith space for collaboration to address pressing moral questions like poverty, like the fact that, you know, a quarter of the children in this country are growing up under the poverty line without decent access to health care, to, you know, quality education. That's a moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be remembered that what animates, at times, Governor Romney's platform is the sensibility inherited from Grover Norquist, the conservative strategist who is famous for saying he wants to shrink government to the size where it can be throttled and shoved down a drain in the bathtub. I mean, people of goodwill recognize that there are things we do together to guarantee an infrastructure for our society, and we have faith-based reasons for doing those. Are we preparing as a nation for our children's future in a responsible way by taking care of our debt, working together, caring for our elderly at the same time?
Yeah.
Or are we being taken advantage of by a drive to end government as we know it?
You wrote about how you didn't see the Mormon story connected to the American story at the Republican National Convention. Would you expand on that just a little?
I was really excited and moved as a Mormon person by the idea that Mitt Romney would, after being so reticent to discuss his faith, bring everyday Mormons on to speak at the RNC, at the convention. We've been caricatured, you know, we've been made fun of, and to see real, genuine Mormon people talking about and talking from the core compassionate spirit of our tradition was very moving to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I sat and reflected on it, and I realized that nowhere in his telling of his own personal story did Mitt bring in the story of us as a Mormon people, the larger story. I was hoping at some point to see a candidate biopic, you know, with a pioneer wagon rolling across the plains. That story of us is so important, and it has such political value to us. It's an American story of shared dreams and shared sacrifices to build something new.
Yeah.
And that was left out. And so I came, as I reflected on it, I realized that Romney had marshaled speakers from the Mormon faith who could attest to his character.
Right.
But his candidacy was not a moment in which our story could be seen as part of the American story. So it was a missed opportunity.
Okay, let's go to your new book, Book of Mormon Girl. It's a memoir. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, there are so few books on the shelf if you go to your bookstore where Mormon people are writing about everyday Mormon experience. There are some good histories about the early founding of our faith. There are some crazy sensational books written by either escaped polygamous child brides who are members of an ultra-Orthodox splinter group or by, you know, people like John Krakauer who try to sensationalize the history of our faith, but a story about what it feels like to be Mormon, to be an all-American girl growing up in this all-American religion, and to really wrestle with the faith as you come of age. Now, that's an experience many people of faith understand. You grow up, you have questions, and you try to make a home to carry out the best of your faith, you know, in and through your questions and struggles and doubts. So that's the story I tell in the Book of Mormon Girl. It's funny, it's real, it's all true, and it just tries to humanize the Mormon experience a bit. I grew up soaking in the best of my faith tradition and feeling very at home in it. I grew up with this ideal of Zion, this story that the pioneers, the Mormon pioneers, had gathered to build a new home for themselves where people would be taken care of. That value, I embedded deeply, and it's always guided my thinking on things from the time I was a small child, that and the Christian testimony, basic love one another, care for the poor. And it wasn't until I went to college at Brigham Young University that I realized I was actually a liberal, and I arrived just at a time when the institutional church was cracking down on feminist intellectuals. So as a 21-year-old, seeing folks I cared about excommunicated, I had to ask myself, is there a place for me here in this faith I love so much?
Someone reads your book, what do you want them to say? Well, here's what that meant to me.
I wrote this book to give anyone who is on a faith journey courage and companionship. If you're Mormon, it can be really difficult in some of our conservative congregations to say, I have questions, or I lean a little liberal. Anyone who knows what it's like to be, you know, walking through this life with a big spiritual question in your heart, and needs a little shelter and encouragement, I hope this book will help you laugh and feel a little bit less alone.
Joanna Brooks is the Mormon girl. She is a senior correspondent for Religion Dispatches magazine, and she has just published this book, Book of Mormon Girls, Stories from an American Faith. Joanna, thanks for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Well, and thank you for your work, Reverend Gaddy. Appreciate it.